The Enterprise heads towards a blue planet. Chekov is at the con. Scotty is at the engineer's station.
Approaching Sigma Yosho 2, Captain.
Standard orbit, Mr. Chekov.
Captain, I have received vocal contact from an official station. They relayed us to a man named Oxlix. His title is Boss.
Boss? All right, Lieutenant, put him on. Oxlix. This is Captain James T. Kirk of the Starship Enterprise, representing the Federation of Planets.
Hello, Captain. You're from the same outfit as the Horizon?
Yes, unfortunately, the Horizon was lost with all hands shortly after leaving your planet. We only received her radio report last month.
Last month? What are you talking about? The Horizon left here 100 years ago.
Difficult to explain. We received a report 100 years late because it was sent by conventional radio. Your system is on the outer reaches of the galaxy. They didn't have subspace communication in those days.
Toward the edge of what?
I'll explain it in more detail when I see him. The ship won't land, but we'll transport several people down. Well, that's a little difficult for you to understand, too. I'll explain it in more detail when I see you. Where will be convenient?
Well, there's an intersection just at the end of the block, near a yellow fire plug. Think you can find it?
Scotty, do you have the coordinates? Located, sir. Good. Mr. Oxmix, we have your intersection located. Will 5 minutes be all right?
Fine, fine. I'll have a reception committee there to meet you.
Good, I'll be looking forward to it. Kirk out. Scotty, you have the con.
Aye, sir.
Spock, McCoy, we're beaming down. Standard equipment.
He pulls them into the lift.
The Horizon's contact came before the non-interference directive went into effect.
They must have interfered with the normal evolution of the planet.
It will be interesting to see the results of the contamination.
Well, we don't know there is contamination. The evidence is only circumstantial.
Well, what was the state of the Iocean culture before the Horizon came?
The beginnings of industrialization.
In the transporter room, the chief hands them communicators and phasers.
Horizon reports indicate the Iocians are extremely intelligent and somewhat imitative.
So we're going down to recontaminate them.
If the damage has been done, Doctor, we are here to repair it.
Let's not argue about it. Let's go study it.
Kirk leads McCoy and Spock onto the transporter platform.
Energize.
They materialize on a city street intersection close to a yellow fire hydrant. A young woman in a pink flapper dress strolls by. They leap out of the path of a 1920s car onto the sidewalk. More women in cloche hats walk by.
Fascinating.
This is like coming home.
Home was never like this.
Men in suits and trilby hats chat outside storefronts.
I've seen pictures of the old days that look like this.
Interesting, Captain. Passers-by are carrying, I believe, firearms.
Two men carrying gangster machine guns come up to them.
Okay, you three. Let's see petrifying.
Sir, would you mind explaining that statement, please?
I want to see it turn to stone. Put your hands over your head. Or you ain't gonna have no head to put your hands over.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry, starring William Shatner. Also starring Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock and DeForest Kelly as Dr. McCoy. A piece of the action, teleplay by David P. Harmon and Gene L. Coon, story by David P. Harmon, directed by James Komack. Holding Kirk, Spock and McCoy at gunpoint, the gunmen force them to hand over their weapons and phasers. One of them holds up a phaser, puzzled.
What's this?
That's a weapon. Be careful with that.
A heater, huh? Hey, the boss will love that.
Now, look, we were asked to come down here by Mr. Oxmix. He said...
I know what he said, bud. He said some of the boys would meet you. Okay, we're meeting you.
Well, those firearms are not necessary.
You trying to make trouble?
Who, me?
Don't give me those baby blue eyes.
What?
I don't go for that innocent routine.
Sir, does everyone here carry firearms?
I never heard such stupid questions in my life.
Well, since this Oxmus asked us down here, don't you think we should see him?
All right. Get moving. Down the street.
The two gunmen cover them as they move off. The car swings round the corner, and a man leans out, firing a submachine gun at them. One of the gunmen is hit.
Rocco's getting more gall all the time.
Is this how you greet all your guests?
It happens, pal.
That man's dead back there.
Yeah, well, we ain't playing for peanuts. What's the matter? You guys never saw a hit before?
Sir, there are several questions I would like to ask.
Ask the boss. I don't know nothing. Get moving.
As they continue down the street, a crowd gathers around the dead gunman.
It's the contamination you're looking for, Jim.
Yes, but the Horizon crew wasn't composed of cold-blooded killers, and they didn't report this culture in this state either. What happened?
Hey, when's the boss gonna do something about the crummy streetlights around here, huh? A girl ain't safe.
Yeah, and how about the laundry pickup? We ain't had a truck by in 3 weeks.
Write him a letter.
I did. He sent it back with postage due.
Listen, we pay our percentages. We're entitled to a little service for our money, eh?
Get lost, will you?
The two gum-chewing, gaudily dressed women saunter off.
Some people got nothing to do but complain.
Is this the way your citizens do business? They write a petition?
They pay their percentages and the boss takes care of them.
Hit that button.
Yeah?
Got him, boss. No sweat.
All right, bring him in.
A dark-haired floozy in a short red dress turns off the intercom, and Oxmix gets up from his desk and saunters over to a pool table. He's in his 50s, dressed in a double-breasted pinstripe.
Which one of you guys is captain?
Depends.
Make yourself a drink, Captain. It's good stuff. I just stole it myself.
No, thank you. You're, Mr. Oxmix.
That's me, pal.
This is my first officer, Mr. Spock, Dr. McCoy.
Doctor, huh? Put the chopper down, Kalo. These guys are our guests. Pick up a cue, Captain. Go ahead. You can't be too careful around here these days.
Yes, judging from what we've seen so far, I agree.
They call you the boss, Mr. Oxmix. The boss of what?
The boss of my territory. I got the biggest in the world. You know, there's one thing wrong with having the biggest. There's always some punk trying to cut you out. That's why you can't be too careful.
You're the government here?
What government? Like I told you, I got the territory and I run it, that's all.
But there are other bosses, other territories.
Yeah, sure. Maybe a dozen or so. Not counting the small fry. But then they get burned anyway as soon as I get around to it.
Does that include, if I may ask, a gentleman called Cracko?
How do you know about Cracko?
He hit us, boss.
Oxmix looks at Kalo.
Okay. You hit him back, you hear? Hard.
I'll take care of it.
Oxmix puts his glasses back on, chews on a toothpick, and takes his next shot. Spock is standing by a reading stand. On it is a large book called Chicago Mobs of the 20s.
Captain. Doctor.
Kirk and McCoy come over.
Gangsters.
Chicago. Mobs. Published in 1992. Where'd you get this?
Hey, wait a minute. That's the book.
I know, it's a book.
The book. They left it. The other ship, the Horizon.
This is the contamination, Captain. Astonishing. An entire culture based on this.
You said they were imitative in the book.
I don't want any more cracks about the book.
Did they leave any other books?
Yeah, sure. Some textbooks on how to make radio sets and stuff like that, but look, I brought you down here so you could help me, not for you to ask me questions. After that, I'll answer anything you want to know.
What is it you want?
Well, I was thinking.
He puts his hand on Kirk's shoulder.
You feds must have made a lot of improvements since that other ship came here. You probably got all kinds of fancy heaters up there. So here's the deal. You give me all the heaters I need, enough tools so I can knock off all those punks all at once. Then I'll take over, And all you have to do is deal with me.
Now, let me get this straight. You want us to supply you with arms and assistance so you can carry out an aggression against your neighbors?
What aggression? I gotta make some hits. I want you to help me hit them, that's all.
Fascinating. But quite impossible.
Mr. Oxmix, my orders are quite explicit.
Ain't interested in your orders. And from now on, you're gonna take orders from me. I'm gonna give you just 8 hours to give me the things I want. If I don't have those tools by then, I'm gonna call up your ship and have them pick you up in a box. Is that understood, pal?
Kayla and another mobster appear with submachine guns. Oxmix shoves his spectacles firmly into his breast pocket. Kirk is nonplussed.
Hey, boss. This here's a heater. I don't know what this is.
Well, let's see how this thing works.
Don't do that. You could knock out the side of the building.
That good, huh? All you have to do is give me about 100 of these fancy heaters and we'll have no more trouble.
Out of the question.
Captain Kirk, I usually get what I want. What's this thing?
Kirk clams up.
All right, burn them.
Now hold it. It's a communication device.
How does it work?
It's locked onto my ship's system.
Kalo, take them to the warehouse and put them in a bag. Keep a sharp eye on them, you hear?
In the bag, boss. Come on.
Kalo and the other mobster usher Kirk, Spock, and McCoy out of the wood-paneled office. Oxmix glances up at the ceiling and opens the communicator.
Hey, you! In the ship up there!
He puts his feet on the desk.
Hey, you in the ship!
Scott here. Who's this?
This is Bella Oxmix. I got your captain and his friends down here. If you want to see him alive again, you'll send me down 100 of these fancy heaters you got and some troops to show me how to use them.
Am I to understand that you're holding the captain and his party?
You heard right, pal. I'm going to give you just 8 hours to get me the goods I want, or I put the hit on your friends. You understand?
I don't know. Lieutenant Hadley, check the language banks and find out what a heater is.
Kalo and two other hoodlums are playing cards in a basement room where the landing party are being held.
One book on the gangs of Chicago did all of this. It's amazing.
They evidently seized upon that one book as the blueprint for an entire society.
As the Bible.
In old Chicago, conventional government almost broke down. The gangs nearly took over.
Yeah, well, this Oxmix is the worst gangster of all.
We may quarrel with Mr. Oxmix's methods, but his goal is essentially the correct one. This society must become united, or it will degenerate into total anarchy.
If this society broke down as a result of the Horizon's influence, then the Federation is responsible, and we've got to do something to straighten this mess out. Spock, if you could get to the sociological computers, do you think you could find a solution?
Unfortunately, I do not have access to my computers, nor are these gentlemen likely to permit it.
Well, I've got an idea about that.
They go across to the hoodlums, who immediately raise their weapons.
Gentlemen, this card game is a kid's game.
You think so, huh?
Oh, yes. I wouldn't waste my time.
Who's asking you?
On Beta Antares 4, they play a real game. It's a man's game, but of course, probably a little beyond you. It requires intelligence.
Listen, Kirk, I can play anything you can figure out. Oh.
Take the cards, big man. Show us how it's played.
Captain, I'm familiar with the culture on Beta Antares 4.
Spark.
I don't know of any game.
One of the men gives up his seat to Kirk.
Of course, the cards on Beta Antares 4 are different, but not too different. The name of the game is called Fizbin.
Fizbin.
Fizbin. It's not too difficult. Mm-hmm. Each player gets 6 cards, except for the dealer, the player on the dealer's right, who gets 7.
On the right.
Yes. The second card is turned up, except on Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look what you've got, 2 jacks. You got a half Fizbin already.
I need another jack.
No, if you got another jack, why, you'd have a shrunk.
I shrunk.
Yes, you'd be disqualified. Oh. Now, what you need now is either a king and a deuce, except at night, of course, when you'd need a queen and a four.
Except at night.
Right. Oh, look at that. You got another jack. How lucky you are. How wonderful for you. Now, if you didn't get another jack, if you had gotten a king, why, then you'd get another card, except when it's dark, when you'd have to give it back.
If it were dark on Tuesday.
Yes, but what you're after is a royal fizzman. But the odds in getting a royal fizzman are Spock, what are the odds in getting a royal fizzman?
I've never computed them, Captain.
Well, they're astronomical, believe me. Now, for the last card, we'll call it a cronk. You got that?
What?
Kirk drops a card on the floor.
Oh, I'll get it.
As Caleb bends down, Spock gives him a Vulcan nerve pitch. McCoy and Kirk tackle the other two. They take their guns.
Spock, find the radio station. Uhura's monitoring the broadcasts. Cut in and have yourselves beamed up to the ship.
Surely you're coming, Captain.
I will, but I'm bringing Bella Ox Mix with me.
Jim, you
can't. Bones, this mess is our responsibility. You have your orders, let's go.
They slip away. Kirk runs down an alley. A mobster appears.
Hold it!
Okay, Pally, we're going for a ride.
If you don't mind, I'd rather walk.
Listen, Pally, this could either be a taxi or a hearse. You know what I mean?
I'm beginning to get the idea.
The mobster in a pale double-breasted suit and straw boater snatches Kirk's machine gun. A large black limousine draws up and Kirk is bundled into the back seat. Spock and McCoy creep into the radio station. A young woman is changing records on a gramophone. Spock gives her a Vulcan nerve pinch. He lays her head down gently on the gramophone cabinet.
You do that very well. Mm. Now, how are you with primitive radio equipment?
Very simple. Amplitude modulation transmission. Simply adjust the frequency, throw this switch, and the Enterprise should answer.
That was the Jailbreakers with their latest recording. On Request Time, brought to you by Bang Bang, the makers of the sweetest little automatic in the world.
Fascinating. And very simple.
See.
He picks up the microphone.
Enterprise, this is Mr. Spock.
Lieutenant Uhura here, Mr. Spock. Mr. Spock, what are you doing on this frequency?
A very long and complicated story, Lieutenant. Notify the transporter room 2 to beam up these coordinates.
The long bonnet of the black limousine pulls up outside a house guarded by 2 gun-toting mobsters. A sign by the door says, Jojo Cracco, Boss, Southside Territory. Inside, in an office, a balding man in his late 30s throws a dart over his shoulder at a large poster of Bella Oxmix on the wall. The door opens, and Kirk is pushed into the room by the 2 gunmen.
So you're the Fed, huh? Well.
And you?
Cracko, Jojo Cracko. I'm the head of the whole Southside Territory. Hey, I'm glad to see you.
Would you mind telling me how you even know who I am?
Sit down, Kirk. I've got all of Bella's communications bugged. He can't make a date with a broad unless I know about it.
Cracko sits.
Well, I guess you want to know why I brought you here.
You want to make a deal?
Hey, I like that. That is sharp. That's sharp, eh, Zabo?
Sharp, boss.
That's right, a deal. I want you to help me.
Let me guess. You want...
Cracko's floozy massages Kirk's shoulders.
You want heaters, and then you'll want, troops to teach them how to use them. And then you'll attack the other bosses and take over the whole planet. Then we'll sit down and talk, right?
Wrong! I know Bella. He didn't offer you beans.
Not me.
I'm a reasonable man. You give me what I want, and I'll cut you in for, say, a third. Skimmed right off the top. Well, what do you think?
I got a better idea. This planet has to be united. Now, you know that. Bella knows that. Let's sit down. You, me, Bella, discuss this whole matter, contact the other bosses, and talk about it like... reasonable men.
You watch it, Kirk. The book tells us how to handle things.
The blonde floozy comes back to her place.
You make hits. Somebody argues you lean on them. What do you think, we're stupid or something?
No, I don't think you're stupid, Mr. Krakow. I just think your behavior is arrested.
I've never been arrested my whole life. Now listen, Pally, I know how to get what I want. You want to live, don't you, Kirk? You bet you do. But after I get through with you, you're liable to be sorry unless you come across. Hold him here. Tell Cyril the knife to sharpen up his blade. I just might have a job for him. Unless you come across with the heaters.
Kirk stands.
I'm sorry, Krakow. No deal.
That's too bad. Put him on ice.
Kirk is locked in a back office. He goes to a desk and looks through the drawers. On a cabinet in the corner stands an old valve radio. Kirk's eyes light up. He goes over to it, studies it, and turns it about face. Prising off the flimsy back panel, he looks at the various transformers, valves, coils, and capacitors. He selects a coil and pulls it out of the metal chassis. He studies it thoughtfully and starts to pick at the copper wire. Back on the bridge of the Enterprise,
well,
futile, Doctor.
No specifics. There is no record of such a culture based on a moral inversion.
You mean you're giving up?
No, Doctor. I'm merely saying the computers can offer us no logical, rational, factual way out of our current dilemma.
Mr. Spock, Mr. Oxmix is making contact from the surface.
On audio, Lieutenant.
Mr. Oxmix, this is Mr. Spock.
Hey, how'd you get back up there?
Irrelevant, since we are here.
Yeah. I tell you, you better come on back down.
Krakow's put the bag on your captain.
Why would he put a bag on our captain?
Kidnapped him, you dope.
He'll scrag him, too.
If I understand you correctly, that would seem to be a problem.
Look, you guys got something I want. I can help you get your captain back.
Then we can talk about the deal I want.
I'm afraid I find it difficult to trust you, Mr. Oxmix.
What's to trust? Business is business. We'll call a truce. You come on down.
My boys will spring Kirk, and then we'll talk about giving me a hand.
You'll show no further hostility.
I'm a businessman, Pally. What do you say?
Since we must have our captain back, I accept.
We shall arrive in your office within 10 minutes. Spock out.
You mean you're gonna trust him? If we are to save the captain without blatant, forceful interference on this planet, Doctor, we must have the assistance of someone indigenous. We are therefore forced to trust Mr. Oxmix.
Spock goes back towards the lift. On the planet's surface, in the room where he's being held, Kirk has unwound the copper wire from the tuning coil to make into a tripwire, which he has stretched across the doorway. He picks up a waste paper basket and a blanket from his bed, goes to the far side of the room, and smashes the waste paper basket down on the floor.
Help me! Help! Help me! Help!
A mobster rushes in and trips over the wire. Kirk kicks him in the face. A second mobster follows. Kirk throws the blanket over his head and punches him on the jaw. Kirk picks up the machine gun and runs out. In the transporter room...
Mr. Scott, though we hope to avoid interference, I suggest you set one of our phaser banks on a strong stun position.
Aye, sir.
Now you're beginning to make sense. I trust we shall not have to use them, but it is best to be prepared.
Energize.
In Oxmix's office...
You know what to do.
Don't worry, boss. They can't do nothing until they're through sparkling.
Just the same, you be careful. They'll have heaters on them. Now you watch this.
He winks at his gum-chewing floozy. Spock and McCoy materialize. Oxmix's two mobsters cock their machine guns and train them on the two Enterprise officers. McCoy gives Spock a dry look.
Ship's log. Mr. Spock reporting. Incredible as it seems, Dr. McCoy and I are once again prisoners of the chief criminal boss of a society patterned after old Earth gangsters.
Pick up many more of these, I won't need your cooperation.
Mr. Oxmix, I understood we had an arrangement. A truce.
I was hoping you'd think that, dummy.
We're trying to help you, Oxmix.
Nobody helps nobody but himself.
Sir, you are employing a double negative.
Huh?
I fail to see why you do not understand us. You yourself have stated the need for unity of authority on this planet. We agree.
Yeah, but I gotta be the unity.
Cooperation, sir, would inevitably result.
The most cooperative man in this world is a dead man. And if you don't keep your mouth shut, you're gonna be cooperating.
Drop the guns. Drop them.
Kirk bursts in.
Move down there.
Spock and McCoy retrieve their weapons from Oxmix.
Hey, Captain. You got away from Krakow. You know that ain't easy.
I thought you were supposed to report to the ship, Mr. Spock.
We did, Captain. The situation required our return.
It may be just as well. Did you find out anything from the computer?
Nothing useful. Logic and practical information do not seem to apply here.
You admit that?
To deny the facts would be illogical, Doctor.
Then you don't mind if I play a hunch?
I'm not sanguine about hunches, Captain, but I have no practical alternative.
What are we going to do now, Jim?
Well, now that we have Bella, I'm going to put the bag on Krakow.
Now, listen, you. Say, that's nice material.
It ought to be. It cost a bundle.
Get out of them.
Hey!
I said...
Just a minute.
You too. Get out of the clothes. Nobody's going to put the bag on me anymore.
Kirk looks over at Spock and McCoy, enjoying himself. The front door of Oxmix's headquarters opens, and Kirk and Spock come out, immaculately dressed, as gangsters. They get into an open-top roadster.
Wheels, Mr. Spock.
A flipper, Captain.
Key in the ignition, turn the ignition on, and nothing happens. Where's the starter? There's the starter. Yeah.
Interesting.
Oops. Gears.
Yes. Oh, I believe they had a device known as a clutch. Clutch, Captain. Perhaps one of those pedals on the floor.
Kirk depresses a pedal and puts the car in gear.
I kind of like this. I may get one myself.
They move on. In reverse. Bystanders turn to stare as the roadster jerks and shudders erratically along the busy city street. Kirk's driving is no better when he arrives at the Southside headquarters of Jojo Krakow. Spock gives Kirk a look.
Captain, you are an excellent starship commander. But as a taxi driver, you leave much to be desired.
It was that bad.
Spock nods. Outside Krakow's door are two armed monsters occasionally checking passers-by.
Now, that could be a bit of a problem. If they were inside, where they wouldn't be seen, we could stun them with our phasers, but not out here.
If we can get close enough to them, we should be able to render them harmless with reasonable rapidity.
One of the mobsters checks a passing pram as the mother watches anxiously.
They don't look like the trusting type.
It's a hit, ain't it?
I beg your pardon.
You're gonna hit somebody. Can I watch?
Young man, run along and play.
Where'd you get them ears?
Young man.
You're gonna hit Krakow? Out here? You open up and you'll be scragged from every window in the street.
Kirk looks up.
I can fix it for you.
Young man, this is likely to be quite hazardous. If I
Hold
were
on,
you...
Spock. Out of the mouth of babes.
Who are you calling a babe?
I'm calling you a babe.
You calling me a babe?
Yeah, I'm calling you a babe, but there's nothing personal. Sit down. You know a way we could get close to them?
Sure.
How?
What's in it for me?
What do you want?
A piece of the action.
You do not even know what the action is going to be.
I figure it's got to be a thick percentage, or you wouldn't be trying to hit Krakow.
Logical.
All right, young man, we'll guarantee you a piece of the action if we can pull this thing off.
Is that a contract?
Done.
Kirk and the knife-wielding boy shake hands.
What do we do?
You know what to do.
The boy mimes a knife fight as he wanders towards the two mobsters. They hurry after him.
What's the matter? Do you hurt yourself, kid?
I want my daddy!
He's a cute kid, ain't he?
Daddy!
Kirk comes up.
Sonny!
I want my daddy!
Sonny! What's the matter? Wait a moment. What have they done? What have they done to you? What have you done?
Kirk karate chops one mobster. Spock gives the other a Vulcan nerve pinch. Kirk looks back at the kid.
A piece of the action.
Kirk and Spock slip into the building.
No one can see. Put your phaser guns down.
In the hallway, two more mobsters are on guard.
Well, ain't this nice? I was wondering how I was going to get you back and hear you deliver yourself. Who's your friend with the ears, Kirk?
I think you've got it reversed, Mr. Cracko.
I ain't, Pally. Put down your heaters.
Captain, I believe that perhaps it would be wise to do as he says. I just heard the sound of...
The sound of a machine gun bolt being pulled back.
Slowly, Kirk and Spock turn around. Behind them in the hallway are two more hoodlums in double-breasted suits and straw hats, machine guns leveled. Kirk turns back to Krakow and his mom. Krakow fiddles with a phaser.
Mr. Krakow, I don't,
So this is a fancy heater, huh? How's it work?
I'm trying to tell you, Mr. Krakow, that this is bigger than you, Oxmix, or anyone.
The only thing I want you to tell me is how it works.
Well, can you trust all your men?
Of course I can.
Well, one of these can make a man a pretty big boss, you know.
I either trust them or they're dead.
But he glances round at his four heavies as he toys with the phasers.
Let's go in here and talk about it.
Inside, Kurt takes back the phasers.
Well, we got no business little eyes to worry about. How does this thing work?
All right, Krakko. We don't have time to show you how to play with toys.
Toys?
What do you think we're here for? You get a cut of your deal? Forget it. That's peanuts to an outfit like the Federation. Right?
Unquestionably.
Right.
Right.
Now, look, Krakko, we're taking over the whole ball of wax. And you cooperate with us, and maybe we'll cut you in for a piece of the action.
A minuscule. A very small piece.
How much is that?
We'll figure it out later.
Thought you guys had laws. No interference.
Who's interfering? We're taking over. Check.
Right.
The planet is being taken over by the Federation, but we don't want to come in here and use our muscle. You know what I mean? That ain't subtle. So what we do is we help one guy take over the planet, he pulls the strings, and then we pull his.
Spock nods.
Hey, you, sit down.
Spock, in his brown gangster pinstripe and fedora, slips his phaser in his inside pocket and sits. Kirk puts his feet on Krakow's desk. Spock imitates Kirk and puts his feet up.
What's your cut?
What do you care, as long as you're being cut in? Of course, there's always Bella Oxmix.
All right, it's a deal. Call your ship, bring down your boys, and whatever else you need.
He goes to the fireplace.
Kirk, Enterprise.
Enterprise. Scott here.
All right, Scotty. We made a deal with Krakow. We did, sir? Yeah, we're ready to make the hit. We're taking over the whole planet as soon as you get ready.
Do you think that's wise, sir?
Sure, we can trust Cracker, but we don't have any choice, you know what I mean? He's standing about 12 feet in front of me, all ready to be our pal.
Of course, Scotty, I'd like to show him the ship, just to show him that we're on the level. But you know how it is.
I know indeed.
Scotty, we'll need phasers to equip every one of Cracko's men. We'll need advisors and troops to back him up on the hit. You got all that, Scotty?
Aye, Captain.
Scotty sits in the command chair.
Captain, we're preparing everything. It'll be ready when you give the word.
You may begin, Mr. Scott.
Acknowledged, Captain.
You mean you're gonna start sending down your boys now?
Not exactly.
Cracko dematerializes. The two mobsters on the door stare in disbelief and run over to where Cracko is standing. Kirk and Spock deal with them.
Right?
Check.
On the Enterprise, Cracko finds himself in the transporter room. Two security guards train their phasers on him. Scotty comes in.
You must be that Scott fella that Kirk was talking to. I want to know what happened.
It looks like we put the bag on you, doesn't it?
I got rights.
You got nothing. You mind your place, mister, or you'll be wearing concrete galoshes.
Scotty grins.
You mean cement overshoes?
Aye.
Outside Cracko's headquarters. Kirk and Spock run across the street, heading back to the roadster. Spock stops.
Must we?
It's faster than walking.
But not as safe.
Are you afraid of cars?
Not at all, Captain. It's your driving that alarms me.
Spock, I've got the hang of it, but now go on.
Reluctantly, Spock gets into the passenger seat. Kirk selects a gear and heads off in reverse. He shrugs.
Not again.
Inside, Cracko's head gunman comes round.
Hey, wake up. You all right?
He goes to the door.
Hey, you guys, come in here!
The others come in, rubbing their nerve-pinched shoulders and phaser bruises.
Oh, the Fed snatched Cracko. I never seen anything like it. They're gonna move in unless we stop them now.
Yeah, how?
Bella's mixed up in this somehow. I got a sneaking hunch. They're gonna hightail it back to his territory. And you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna hit his place.
Where are they?
McCoy is in Oxmix's office with the two guards in their underwear.
Knowing Crackle, he'll probably send them back on a blotter.
Wrong again, Oxmix. Jim. Knock it off, Sawbones. I wanna talk to this creep. Now, listen, I'm getting tired of playing pancake with you penny-ante operators.
What do you mean, a penny-ante operator?
You're a penny-ante operator. Sit down. All right, Spocko, cover him. Now, listen, sweetheart, the Federation's moving in. We're taking over. You play ball, we'll cut you in for a piece of the pie. You don't, you're out. All the way out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Why didn't you say so in the first place? All you had to do was explain it to me.
Kirk, Enterprise.
Enterprise. Scott here, sir.
You got Cracko on ice?
Aye, he's here. Mad enough to chew neutronium, but behaving himself.
Okay, baby, cool him until I flag him.
Flag me?
Keep him there until I send for him. We're gonna make some old-style phone calls from this locale. So you, locate the man on the other end of the blower and give him a ride to this flop.
What?
Find the man at the other end of the phone.
And transport him to these coordinates.
Can't do, sweetheart.
Can do, Captain.
Standing by.
Now you, get on the blower and call the other bosses.
I sure don't know what you think you're talking about.
Get with it, I'm giving the orders here.
Oxmix picks up the phone. He's Floozy and the two hitmen in Long John's watch.
Hello. Tello?
Scotty?
Scott here.
Guess who?
Lock in and energize.
Yeah, you bet your life I got a lot of nerve. What are you gonna do about it?
Coming over there with a couple of my boys and we're...
The boss Oxmix is talking to materializes in the room. He looks around in astonishment.
Mother!
Spock turns a gun on him. The boss hands over his weapon. Oxmix is impressed.
Hey, Captain, that ain't bad.
Yeah.
I would advise you to keep dialing, Oxmix.
Spock turns his gun back on Oxmix. In Cracker's office, his men load their weapons.
All right, you know what to do. We hit Bella's place and nobody comes out alive. All right, let's go!
In Oxmix's office, Oxmix, Cracker, and all the other gang bosses argue. Kirk jumps onto the pool table.
Is that right? All right, all right, all right! Now the Federation's taking over, whether you like it or not. You people, you've been running this planet like a piecework factory. From now on, it's gonna be under one roof. You're gonna run it like a business. And that means you're gonna make a profit.
Yeah. And what's your percentage?
I'm cutting the Federation in for 40%. You got any objections?
Yeah. I hear a lot of talk, but all I see here is you and a couple of your boys. I don't see no Federation.
Listen! They got a ship. I know. I was there.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Tepper's got a point.
Right.
All we ever seen is them.
What? A couple of your boys?
I'm not going to believe my eyes.
Spock and McCoy look round at the confusion. Kurt, still in his monster suit, takes charge.
Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. Quiet! Just a moment.
Let me say something.
Cracker.
I only saw three guys in that ship. Maybe there ain't no more.
Kirk grabs Cracker by the lapels.
There are over 400 guys there.
That's your story, Buster.
Outside, Cracko's hitmen arrive. As everyone rushes to the window, Cracko manages to get McCoy's machine gun.
Hey, it's my boys! They're making a hit at this place!
My boys will put you down!
Want a bet? Now keep moving. One move out of you two guys, and I'll drill them. Give me the hardware.
Hey, that's great, Cracko. Now we got hostages again. We can make a deal with the feds up there.
Are you kidding? This one's all mine. From now on, nobody's going no place. I'm gonna be the big boss in this here territory.
Now, wait a minute, wait a minute. Get that heater down. Don't you wanna take a look at what you're gonna fight?
I already seen it. You're nothing, Fed.
All right, but at least let me call my ship one last time and say goodbye.
Well, all right, go ahead. Don't get smart.
Hello, Scotty. This is Coit.
Enterprise, Scott here, sir.
Scotty, put the ship's phasers on stun. Fire a burst in a one-block radius around these coordinates.
Right away, sir. Scott out.
A green phaser burst hits the two groups of gunmen outside the window. All the gunmen collapse unconscious. Kirk looks smugly at Cracker and then at Oxmix. They gaze down at their paralyzed men in the street below.
Hey, that's some trick.
Hey, did you see that?
They're not dead, just knocked out for a while. But they might just as well have been that way if we wanted them to.
Okay, okay, Kirk, so we get the message. Now, what was this syndicate deal you were talking about?
He was talking about a percentage. What?
I was talking about both.
Okay, a syndicate makes sense to me. I'm a peaceful man at heart, but I'm sick and tired of all these hits. I hit Cracko, Cracko hits Teppo, Teppo hits me. There's too many bosses. We can't get anything done. Now I was thinking, if there was just one, maybe somebody like you as the top boss, then we can get things done.
Hey, Bella. No. The Federation can't get connected with a small-time operation like this. Now, I was thinking, Bella, you would be the top boss. Cracko, you'd be his lieutenant. The rest of you, I don't want any trouble from the rest of you, because you'll have to answer to the Federation.
We'll be back every year to collect our cut.
Look, you figure maybe 40%'s enough?
Yeah, I think 40% sufficient.
It's reasonable. It sounds reasonable. That sound reasonable to you?
Yeah. Reasonable, Mr. Oxmix. Let's break out some of your drinking stuff and celebrate the syndicate.
Later, back on the bridge of the Enterprise, Kirk comes up to Spock and McCoy.
Gentlemen, you two have been brooding ever since we returned to the ship.
Brooding, Captain?
Brooding, Mr. Spock, a somber, emotional state. Now, do you wish to continue it, or are you going to discuss it?
Captain, I'm neither brooding nor somber, but I do have reservations about your solution to the problem of the Iotians.
Ah, yes. I understand that. You don't think it's logical to leave a criminal organization in charge.
Highly irregular, to say the least, Captain. I'm also curious as to how you propose to explain to Starfleet Command that a starship will be sent each year to collect our cut.
Yes, that's a very good question, Mr. Spock. I propose that our cut be put into the planetary treasury and used to guide the Iotians into a more ethical system, despite themselves. They'll be forced to accept conventional responsibilities. Isn't that logical?
Spock gives him a non-committal, thin-lipped smile. Disappointed, Kirk turns to McCoy.
All right, Bones, in the language of the planet, what's your beef?
Well, I don't know how serious this is, Jim. And I don't quite know how to tell you.
Well, go ahead.
But in all the confusion,
yeah.
I...
Tell me.
I think I left it in Bella's office.
You left it?
Somewhere, I'm not certain.
You're not certain of what?
I left my communicator.
In Bella's office?
Captain, if the Iotians, who are very bright and imitative people, should take that communicator apart...
They will, and they'll find out how the translator works.
The translator is the basis for every important piece of equipment
that
we have.
That
you really think it's that serious?
Serious. Serious, Bones. It upsets the whole percentage.
How do you mean?
Well, in a few years, the Iotians may demand a piece of our action.
The picture freezes with Kirk making a very mobster-like gesture. This audio description was written and produced at IMS for the Sci-Fi Channel.